is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey's coming to you live from New York. Thank you for being here. This is where we'll be for the next 3 hours. This show gets started, though, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific every weekday. It means it's 4 hours. How many things do you get free in life? How many things you get for free? Not a lot, right? You can listen to the show on the Audacy app for free. A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can even hit rewind to the beginning of the show. That'd be nice. You can also listen live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. Wherever you live, I don't know where you live. I'm not the criminal that broke into Joe Burrow's house. I have no idea where you live. Thank you to people listening live on SiriusXM channel 158. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You don't have to lift a finger. All real simple. All real easy. Anyway, last hour, unfortunately, we did talk about Joe Burrow. House robbed back home in Ohio while he's playing in Texas for Monday Night Football. Bengals ended up beating the Dallas Cowboys, but he got robbed while he was playing. Terrible. Awful. We discussed Mike McCarthy and his job security. Who knows, right? Come on now. It's Jerry Jones. And then we talked about Bill Belichick. Whether or not Belichick is on his way to coach at the University of North Carolina. Yes, the same Bill Belichick, who we all thought was just going to try to get back into the NFL and maybe coach, I don't know, anybody. Atlanta Falcons said hell no to Bill Belichick last offseason. And before we even get to this upcoming offseason, before we get to the playoffs, Bill Belichick is already looking at an alternative in coaching of the University of North Carolina. So much to figure out. And it's been reported that as of today, Bill Belichick has agreed to coach North Carolina, but they don't have deal or a deal involving a contract, which means that North Carolina either haven't presented him with a monetary deal. He hasn't agreed to one, but apparently this is in North Carolina's hands right now. Well, you know what? A matter of fact, in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Jason Staples of Inside Carolina. Covers all things Tar Heels. We're going to find out what the latest is. Is Belichick going? Is he not going? Is this another bad look for Bill Belichick? We'll find out. It didn't look good for him when the only team that really interviewed him multiple times last offseason was the Atlanta Falcons. And then the Falcons, which we know they could use a quarterback. Sorry, Kirk Cousins. They could use a coach. No disrespect to Raheem Morris. Even the Falcons said no to Belichick. He beat him in a Super Bowl, unfortunately. Let's not remember that, but that's what took place. As a matter of fact, here, this is Andy Reid from yesterday. You know, yeah, he's a contemporary. Damn it, he might pass Bill Belichick in all-time coaching wins by the time he hangs it up. He was on the Let's Go podcast, and Andy Reid, this is what he had to say about reports of Belichick even thinking about coaching in college.
Listen, I've said it before. He's the greatest, and whatever he chooses, he can go to high school, wherever he wants to go. he deserves it right. Whatever makes him happy. I think the NFL, though, would be missing a great part if he decides he wants to come back. He might be enjoying this retirement. I mean, he's done this a long time.
And Hickey, is Andy Reid, what is wrong with him? Why did he say that? Why did he call it a retirement?
Because, well, it's better than saying he got fired and wasn't hired again.
A retirement? Right? No, that's not. Bill Belichick was 40. Would he call it a retirement? If he was 50, would he call it a retirement? If he was 60, would he call it a retirement? No. That's tough, man.
What would you call it?
He's on a hiatus. Nothing. He's just not coaching this year. It's not a retirement.
He has stopped working.
No, he's working his ass off trying to get another job.
He has stopped coaching.
Temporarily, is this hope? You know, it's, I don't want to call it a Hickey. If I were Bill Belichick, I'd be mad. I'd be like, listen, bro, don't put it out there that I'm retired from coaching. Don't say that. It's inaccurate. It's intellectually dishonest. Don't say that. Bill Belichick wants to coach in the NFL. NFL just may not want him. We'll see what happens with Bill Belichick. We'll be having that conversation with Staples in about, you know, 15 minutes from now. And that's not the only potential issue, if I want to call it one, going on in the world of football right now. While the Eagles got beef and they got to explain away all this nonsense, they have proven to be one of the top teams in the NFC. We might see an NFC championship game featuring both the Lions and the Eagles. The Eagles just beat Carolina 22-16. Nine-game winning streak. Eagles have a record of 11-2. And all anybody is talking about right now is the fact that Jalen Hurts in the passing game, it stinks right now because they're running the hell out of the ball. That they're the one NFL team that right now is running the ball more than they are throwing it. But they're 11-2. Now, I get it. If you want to have concerns about, hey, what happens down the line when Jalen Hurts needs to throw the ball, and nobody's going to confuse, you know, Jalen Hurts out there with being, you know, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. Nobody is. A big part of his game is his ability to go ahead and run and scramble. And, you know, who cares if he goes, you know, a 12 of 17 passing and has 200 yards and only throws two touchdowns and runs for another two. Who cares as long as they're winning? Well, obviously, you got the wide receivers who want the rock. A.J. Brown, only 43 yards receiving in a victory on Sunday. Devontae Smith, 37 yards in the victory this past Sunday. And we know one thing about wide receivers. They want the ball. I want my targets. Give me 10. Give me 15. Give me an opportunity to come away, walk away with 10 catches. Give me some targets. And yeah, you can shut up because when you're winning, who's going to complain? Nobody. But A.J. Brown was asked about this, and he said, yeah, if there's one place that we can improve, it's the offense. I didn't even get a target until about halftime. Come on. And so that's where things should have stopped with A.J. Brown, with Hurts having to respond, with Nick Sirianni having to respond. But damn it, a guy who's not even playing on the team right now, the most senior guy on the team, who's out for the season, who might be done, his career might be over, Brandon Graham, who can't play. Let me remind you, he cannot play. He tore his triceps last month. 15 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. May never play again. He's sitting around on the radio, WIP in Philadelphia. And he spilled beans that did not need to be spilled. He said that Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, and A.J. Brown, the wide receiver. He said that they got some type of personal beef. Listen to this.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. He, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But we got to, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better.
Man, we don't know what the hell you're talking about. The personal side of getting away with the bit. We don't know what you're talking about. And since that piece of information came out, everybody pretty much learned that, I guess, their godparents, to somebody's godparent, Hurts to Brown, Brown to, I guess Brown has kids. I don't think Hurts has children. So, but anyway, they're close. Making you the godfather of my kid. Okay, whatever, but it counts for something. What's the beef? What's the issue? That was vague. Brandon Graham said the relationship has changed. Why are you telling people's personal business on the radio? We just talking about football. What are you talking about personally? And so you want to know what happened? Brandon Graham realized, uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Listen to what he said afterwards.
I want to start off by just, you know, apologizing to my guys. You know, I was going to see them today anyway, but I wanted to start here first publicly since we all was here, because I didn't want to make this. I made the assumption. I didn't know all the details, and I still don't. And I was just like, dang. Like, you know, I really just saw everything that y'all saw with the video, and I just was reacting to that, and I should have used a little more logic on it. Right now,
I don't think it's that bad. I think it's a great thing because pressure makes diamonds. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like this is about to be something that we're going to bounce back from really good. And, you know, we all make mistakes. And, you know, this was one of my mistakes.
Oh, boy. This is why we don't need athlete. And it's, I think, on WIP, I think it's his own show, the Brandon Graham Show, a podcast. You're not even playing right now. Like, the guys in the locker room are going to have to answer questions about you and your comments, and you can't even suit up and beat up on the quarterback anymore. It's not what anybody needs. And, of course, the head coach, he spoke today. He was on WIP, and he had to respond to just the beef between Hurts and Brown, the one that we didn't know that existed. Listen to this.
There's going to be speculation of what things look like because you guys don't have all the, let's be honest, you guys don't have all the information.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
You don't get to see it on a daily basis. All I can judge things on is what I see on a daily basis. When I see, you know, AJ and Jalen communicating about the game plan, eating lunch together every single day, praying with each other before the game. Like, and so, like, there's going to be speculation, and I get it, you know, I get it, rightfully so, based off what's happened the last couple of days. But we can say, hey, there's based off what happened the last couple of days, hey, oh, man, there's a little 2023 vibes. I see a lot of 2022 vibes. You can look at what you see in 1 week, but I'm looking at the big picture.
The big picture is you need to tell your players to shut up.
That's it.
Okay, A.J. Brown says they need to do a better job passing the ball. Okay, understandable, fine. Nothing unusual. Why is the defensive tackle who can't play? Why is the lineman who can't play? Why is he spilling partial secrets from the team? He don't need to get involved. It's none of his business. What, is he so far removed from the team? Is he already in, like, retirement mode that he's like, oh, let me just say whatever comes to my mind? No, man, be quiet. You want to know another Eagle? Oh, he is retired, so now he can say whatever the hell he wants. LeSean McCoy, he looked at his former teammate Brandon Graham. He was on Fox Sports 1, and he said, man, he should have shut the hell up. Why are you stirring this up for?
BG, my brother, though, mind your business. Mind your business. The first he said was, I don't know everything was going on, yep. But here's my... How you know? And I'm cool with BG.
He in the locker room.
But here's the thing, though. On offense and defense, though, we even might be cool. Like, I was cool. I chose my man, but, like, I'm not running him my business. What's going on in the offense? And how he know? How he know one trying? Cause how he know we're trying? How he know? I'll just say this, man. As a brotherhood in the locker room, we keep everything in house.
Yep.
We're not going to media and rapping about this, about that.
Everybody got a podcast. Now, is this going to tank the Philadelphia Eagles? I don't think so. And to Brandon Graham's credit, this might actually be something that pulls them together. Puts an emphasis on the offense. Well, not just the fact that we have Saquon Barkley. Of course, let's run the ball. But let's try to balance things out a little bit more. Are the wheels going to fall off of Saquon Barkley as we move a little bit deeper and closer to the postseason? We know A.J. Brown can break open a game. We know Devontae Smith can break open a game. But when we know it gets cold and it gets nasty and you're not playing bums anymore, sorry, Carolina, and you're playing good teams in the NFC in the postseason, I think a little bit of balance would help, right? You know, the most dynamic offensive weapon is Saquon Barkley, but got to switch things up. Is Jalen Hurts going to be prepared for that? Is he going to be skittish? Is he going to hold the ball? Is he going to scramble? Is he going to take sacks? Is he going to be ready? We're going to find out, and maybe this does help. But still, to LeSean McCoy's point, you got to keep some things in the house. And if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, just don't say nothing. You can't run around with partial stories. You can't run around with half stories. You can't do that. You want to know who's going to have to answer to this and for this over the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks? Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown. They might ask Devontae Smith, hey, what do you think about it? Like, nobody wants to sit around and talk about their personal business. I don't care if they're praying together before games or sitting down having lunch or have goddaughters or brothers or sisters. I don't care how they feel about each other. That's their business. And you got a guy who's not even playing football right now, bringing it to the forefront, making it a distraction for the team. A team that's won 9 straight games and is 11-2. Maybe this is a a bump in the road that they can elevate after they've hit the bump, or maybe this is a bump in the road that derails them. I have no idea. We're going to find out. I'll tell you this much. When it comes to taking on the Detroit Lions, if that should be the case in the postseason, I'm going with the team that can run and throw the ball. That's the Lions. That's not the Eagles. Maybe they do want to try to work on that passing game and diversify things a little bit. That defense is looking damn good for the Eagles right now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Let me tell you this. By the way, if Nick Sirianni, if he doesn't work out in Philadelphia, maybe Bill Belichick will come through and help them out. That's if he is not at North Carolina. You know what? We're going to take a break. I told you this. To get a little bit more details as to what's going on at Chapel Hill. Is Bill Belichick received an offer? Does he have an offer? Has he accepted something? Is he waiting on money? Is he going to college? I have no idea. We're going to have a chat with Jason Staples from Inside Carolina. He's going to join us in a few minutes. We'll see if Bill Belichick is done with the NFL, if he's going to college. Jason is going to come through and give us that info on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, there's so much in the news over the weekend heading into today about Bill Belichick, his future. Is he leaving the NFL? Is he leaving media? Is he going to coach at North Carolina? To give us some insight as to what might be going on, what might happen, what has already taken place, is someone who has coached. And at this point in time, you can go ahead and find him as an analyst on Inside Carolina. It's Jason Staples. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking the time to join us. There's so much that's happening, and it seems like every few hours there's new information. What's the latest? Has Bill Belichick accepted an offer? Has an offer been levied out from Chapel Hill? What's going on?
Yeah, so as far as I have information, he has not yet accepted an offer. There is continued negotiation between UNC and Belichick. And at this point, if it doesn't wind up going through, it's going to be a lot of egg on a lot of faces in Chapel Hill because of the public nature of what's been happening. But it's pretty clear that there's been significant back and forth and negotiation. Belichick is asking for specific things in terms of how the program will be run and a lot of compensation issues and NIL and all the sorts of things that he thinks are necessary in order to run a successful and nationally competitive program. And Carolina has never done those things before. So, you know, there's a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed for everything to work out for these sides to come closer. But as of right now, we're still expecting that to happen. So
you're expecting what to happen, Jason? I'm sorry.
We're still expecting for him to come together and for them to wind up getting an accepted offer so that Bill Belichick is the most likely next head coach in Chapel Hill, which I think would have sounded silly to pretty much any of us about 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, football analyst Jason Staples is joining us from Inside Carolina. How did this come together? Was there an approach? Obviously, North Carolina reached out. Has Bill Belichick been putting feelers out there? What is your understanding?
So as I understand it, Belichick actually reached out to North Carolina and said, hey, I'm interested. Would you like to talk? And, well, I mean, if you're North Carolina in that situation and one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game gives you a holler and says, I'm interested, you at least hear him out. And so there's a video conversation and with him and several of the power brokers making these decisions. And, you know, it's Bill Belichick. He kind of blew him away in that interview, and they realized that he was actually serious. And, you know, there were other candidates that they were also vetting and interested in and trying to negotiate with as these things go. I mean, in college football, no one's ever actually offered the job until they've agreed to take the job, right? That's the way this works, right? There's all this plausible deniability. But, you know, there were other candidates that were being vetted, other candidates that had, you know, essentially opportunities. And, you know, Belichick was in the mix the whole time. And ultimately, the focus, as I understand it, the focus just came to be Belichick. And now it's just a matter of getting that done. And, yeah, I mean, he's put together a very clear plan of what he wants. And that's essentially what they're working out right now.
Well, Jason, you're a former coach. We know Belichick. We heard from some of his players, maybe playfully or not. They were just like, can you imagine him with younger students, younger young men? What are your thoughts on the transition? Some people say this would be great for Belichick because he's used to understanding the free agent structure / NIL, or he's not going to work well with younger people. What do you think?
I just got off the phone with a friend of mine who played years in the NFL about this, and we were both going, you know, I just don't see how that's going to work with him with, you know, with parents. Like, see, here's the thing. In the pros, you're dealing with grown men who are on your payroll. They're making a paycheck. You can cut them. There's a variety of things that work out this way. In college, he's going to have to walk into a living room and deal with parents. And that part of things, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, the guy is one of the greatest coaches to ever coach, if not the best NFL coach to ever coach.
Yeah.
He's certainly in the discussion. So I'm not going to call into question the idea that he, you know, I'm not going to say it's not possible that he could succeed. But I do think that this is one of those things that would require him to do things differently in terms of just how he handles people within the program, specifically players and players' players' families, that's just different than how you have to do it in the NFL. So I have a healthy dose of skepticism of exactly how that might work. But on the flip side, if you're a college coach, if you're a coordinator or a position coach, and you get a phone call from Bill Belichick that says, hey, do you want to join my staff at North Carolina? How many guys are turning that down?
Yeah, none, really.
You know, if you're a transfer and you actually want to play in the NFL, but you're just not quite there, you're moving up a little bit from maybe a smaller school or a variety of different things, and Bill Belichick calls and says, hey, you know, I'm not sure if you're good enough. In fact, I'm pretty sure you're not good enough to play for us. But, you know, we've got an extra spot. Do you want it? You know, there's going to be a lot of players that are going to go, yeah, that guy probably knows what he's doing. I've got the best chance of making the NFL if I play for him. So, you know, you got to think that he's going to be able to put together a reasonable staff, which may minimize how much he has to deal with players and coaches to that degree. I mean, at that point, is he just managing the staff and making sure that everything runs as a CEO should, and then, you know, inputs what he wants schematically and all of that? That's entirely possible. And then at that point, you start to look at it from that angle and you say, well, geez, that actually could work. Because now you're getting an influx of talent and you're getting top quality coaches, and you're headed up by somebody who knows what he's doing as a CEO. So, yeah, I mean, that could work. So I'm a little bit of two minds. I mean, I think it would take Belichick sort of reinventing himself in terms of how he deals with people, and particularly like parents and family of players, and how he acclimates to the, you know, to that kind of environment with younger players and all that. It would require him to reinvent himself, but at the same point, I have to think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to bring top quality talent around, to surround himself with top quality talent at the player and coaching level. And, you know, talent is what matters in college football. If you can collect talent, if you can get players who are, you know, I played for Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden used to say the secret to being a better coach, the secret to being a successful coach is having better players than the guy across from you. And you got to think, I mean, Belichick's brand name on its own might have some say there. I mean, we've seen kind of how that's worked out with another guy that doesn't recruit, that doesn't, you know, Deion Sanders has only visited like four living rooms as a head coach. He doesn't really recruit. But if you look at what's happened at Colorado, they did attract some talent just based on Dion's brand name. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that that's part of what Belichick has looked at here, is Belichick's brand name is a lot bigger than Dion's. So, you know, that's the part where I can find myself talking myself into this pretty easily just based on that.
Jason Staples is here with us, a former coach, player, current football analyst, and more at Inside Carolina, covering all things North Carolina sports. When you think about what the future might be, Belichick, 72, 73 years old, coming on, we've heard reports that he may bring on his family, no shock or surprise there. Is this one of the reasons that North Carolina might be hesitant? They just got rid of someone a similar age in Mac Brown. Is not going to require the same amount of power of Belichick. I'm sure that there has to be some type of understanding that Belichick is not going to be doing this for the next, you know, 10 or 15 years. What are your thoughts on a holdup? Is it strictly financial and compensation, or do you think there might be some type of succession issues as well?
You know, I'm not privy to those discussions, so I don't know for sure. But, you know, putting my speculation cap on, I'm guessing, I mean, the stuff that I heard initially was that succession was an issue, was something that the Carolina powers that be were concerned about. That, you know, you're looking at somebody who's 73 years old, like you said. I think at this point they're, you know, kind of settled that that's going to be most likely the direction that they go. Hmm. So I do suspect that if that's the decision you're going to make, then you do have to start to think about how succession is going to work. And how are you going to put that together? And there, you know, there have been reports, and again, I've not been able to verify those specific reports of, you know, obviously the report was that he would want his son Steve Belichick to be the head coach in waiting, essentially, for after him. I doubt that is formally agreed to. And one of the reasons that I doubt that's formally agreed to is simply because of the major restrictions that are placed on head coach in waiting titles. But you might have, you know, other ways of kind of setting up that kind of succession and these sorts of things. And, you know, if you're North Carolina, yeah, you're trying to make this hire for more than the next 3 or 4 years. And, you know, that's complicated, and it does require dealing with some of the succession stuff. Thing is, I'm not sure that in this, so on the flip side of this, and again, you know, today's college football, you have to be of like three minds on everything. But on the flip side, if you're a major university at this point, I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense to try to hire someone with 10 years in mind. Mm. I mean, these seem to be short-term positions for the most part now. So you need to hire someone who's going to put you in the best possible position 3 years from now, 4 years from now, and then kind of figure out from there. But, you know, I do think that the bigger thing, and this has been reported and I think it's pretty reliable, the bigger thing that's holding up how this is going is Belichick wants big boy, you know, major program commitment when it comes to all of the other stuff surrounding the coach. I don't think it's a matter of coach compensation. I think it's a matter of how much are you willing to commit to NIL? How much are you willing to commit to, to staff hiring? How much are you willing to put into the back office and recruiting operations and all of these things? You're talking about enormous amounts of money. Mm. And North Carolina's never put that kind of money on the table for football, especially. And, you know, they've got to figure out how they would do that in order to make that work. Because Belichick is convinced that if you have all of that stuff surrounding him, he's going to be successful. But he doesn't want to take the job unless he thinks he can win. And so he wants all that stuff in place in order to put himself in the position where he's going to have advantages over all the other programs that he plays. And that's something North Carolina has to figure out.
I'm sorry, Jason. And just to reiterate, you believe that this is ultimately going to happen?
I do think at this point, North Carolina is in a position where I think the powers that be recognize that if it doesn't happen, it's going to look really bad. Mm. And, you know, there's very little in this world that motivates people to do certain things more than the fear of looking really, really, really bad in public. And I suspect that's going to be a part of the calculus here.
Nobody wants to walk around with egg on their face. You know, in closing and finality here, Jason, we have seen coaches decide to exit college programs, whether it's Saban in the football space or whether we look at Coach K in the basketball space, because they didn't want to deal with this changing landscape. Do you see Bill Belichick potentially ending up at North Carolina as something that has a ripple effect on what the ranks look like? Because we know college is changing a whole hell of a lot. People are exiting, and he's saying, yeah, I'm not in the NFL right now, but I may come on in.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is there's going to be a lot of people in the industry that are looking at what Belichick sets up in terms of the infrastructure and the apparatus to be successful. I mean, Nick Saban, the thing that made Nick Saban what he was at Alabama is he set up a system, a program that essentially was on autopilot, where Alabama had advantages over everybody else in terms of talent acquisition and maintaining talent within that program for, you know, the time period that Saban was there. And that was because of how Saban got everything set up. That setup lasted really well. Now, NIL sort of blew that up to some degree, and that's one of the reasons why Saban walked away, is this setup, this program that he had put together that gave them such a huge advantage over their peers in the NIL era didn't give them enormous advantages over, say, Ole Miss or, you know, any number of other programs that's willing to pony up the money for other things. Well, now what you have is Belichick, who seems to think that he's identified some specific ways to give himself advantages in a similar way. And again, Belichick and Saban are, you know, a lot alike. They're friends that go back, you know, many, many years. Belichick is coming in and seems to think that he can do the same thing. And I can tell you that there's going to, that if Belichick does come and do all of this at North Carolina, you're going to see a lot of people studying what North Carolina is doing to see if they can implement a lot of the same sorts of things to try to find a competitive edge in their own environment. So, yeah, I do think if this happens, Carolina is going to be sort of a test case and an example for a lot of other programs that are going to end up trying to imitate what they're doing.
Yeah, monkey see, monkey do. We'll see what takes place with Bill Belichick in North Carolina. This certainly seems like we're down to the wire here. Jason, thank you so much for the insight, for what you know, and sharing your wealth and breadth of knowledge. Where can people follow and keep up with you?
Well, as always, my stuff and all sorts of other stuff pertaining to UNC is at InsideCarolina.com. I do other sports commentary and all sorts of stuff on Twitter or X, if you prefer. I think Twitter's better. But I'm at Doc Staples there, at Doc Staples. Otherwise, I'm pretty easy to find. Thanks again for the chance to chat. It was fun.
Well, thank you so much, Jason. You have a good evening, okay?
You guys too.
No doubt about it. That Jason Staples, former coach, football analyst, InsideCarolina.com. You can also search them at Inside Carolina. He brings up an excellent point. You think about UNC, it's been reported that they wanted to have a coach in place by the time we got to the opening of the transfer portal, which, by the way, is open in an odd time, being that we're still in season, technically. Just wild stuff in the college football space. And yeah, worse things have happened. Would it be a disaster if North Carolina and Belichick didn't get together? I would say so. Would I be shocked if they decided to both kind of walk away or Belichick said, screw this? I would be shocked at any of it. This is all just kind of popped up out of nowhere. And by the way, Bill Belichick is still lying. He would love to be a coach in the NFL. Let's just be clear on that. He'd love to break Shula's record. He's not going to sit and whine and cry publicly about that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. And speaking of places or faces changing places, I'm going to tell you about an NBA player who might be on a new team in a month or 2 months. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Jason Staples from InsideCarolina.com, former coach, former player, insider, Tar Heels, sports. Thank you for coming through. He told us, it's his understanding that Belichick reached out to the Tar Heels. It's also Jason's understanding that at this point, he believes a deal will get done because they are so far down the line and that this would be embarrassing for North Carolina. Mack Brown was gone, 2 weeks ago they gave him the boot after he said he wanted to stay? And after walking this down the line with Belichick over the past several days, Jason believes that they will get a deal done with Bill Belichick. And I assume we're going to hear about this sooner than later. There's going to be some type of conclusion, I would believe, at minimum over the next 2 days before this week is up. I mean, the longer it goes, something has to give. Somebody has to go, we doing this or not? Wild stuff. If you want to listen or you missed the conversation with Jason Staples, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. Phone lines are open. That's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Belichick might be moving to a different space. I did mention to you that there might be an NBA player who's going to be doing the same at some point over the next 2 months. And this man's name is Jimmy Butler. We'll get into that in a bit. May have to take it to the other side of the break. We have more to get into. I do want to talk about some of the positive aspects surrounding the Cincinnati Bengals that don't involve Joe Burrow getting robbed. And we learned that Caitlin Clark is now the Time Athlete of the Year. And so we have a whole lot more to do as this show continues on. I want to get into Sam Darnold some more, too. So we got a lot to do. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. 855-212-4227. Let's go ahead and talk to Connor. Connor is here from Ohio. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Connor? Connor, you're live on the radio. Connor got abducted by aliens. Pat from Massachusetts. Excuse me. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Pat?
Hi, JR. I haven't called you in a while, but I wanted to thank you for announcing that Caitlin Clark was Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a fact, so
I'm going to try to get the copy of that magazine. Now, the other thing that occurred to me while I was listening to you talk about football, I'm not a football fan.
Okay.
But Tom Brady's oldest son is a very good football player. And I wonder if there isn't something going on between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, if anything, Tom Brady probably wants to keep his kid away from Bill Belichick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a thought, and if anything comes of this, I'll call you back on it, all right?
Hey, I appreciate it. You know where to find me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat from Massachusetts. Bye-bye. Appreciate you. Good evening. I don't think that. Come on now. Bill Belichick wanted to get rid of Tom Brady. He wanted to get rid of Tom Brady so much that Tom Brady said, I need to get out of here. And Tom Brady left. I don't think Tom Brady wants his kid dealing anything with Bill Belichick. And I don't know. What, Tom Brady's oldest kid? I'm not keeping track of his kids. Not Bronny James. Hickey, what is his oldest kid? He got to be just in high school, probably, right? I don't know. Is he looking at colleges? I don't know.
Does he play football?
I think he. I know that the oldest kid is tall, isn't he, or is he short? I don't know.
I mean, I guess I don't know anything about Tom Brady's kids outside of that he has three. That's all I really know.
He has one from the
Bridget Moynihan.
Yeah, that's the oldest child,
right?
And then there are three more with the model, whatever her name is, the rich one.
Wow, out of sight, out of mind for you, huh?
Don't say it. Giselle Bundchen. There you go. Yeah. I can only talk about one model a show. We talked about Joe Burrow's model girlfriend. I don't even remember her name. Boynton, something like that. I don't know. Doesn't matter to me.
She's not your girlfriend.
And she's not my girlfriend. Not rolling up into my house broken into. Nope. Don't know who she is. But, Hickey, do you think there's any way in hell Brady would want anything to do with Belichick?
No. No. Yeah, I think he would send us like NC State to in that rivalry game, get revenge on Bill, if anything. I don't think he's sending him to help Bill out again.
Yeah, and forget helping him out. I don't think he wants to communicate with Belichick more than he needs to. He's like, yeah, it's one thing to sit down and reminisce and do a roast and pop bottles and have fun. Oh, yuck, the good old days. I think it's another thing to have a conversation with Bill Belichick about your son, his development, his playing time. I think Tom Brady is past that. that he's trying to develop people for the Oakland Raiders, excuse me, the Las Vegas Raiders. That at some point, I also assume that Antonio Pierce will no longer be a member of because Tom Brady is technically going to be running the team. A lot of information in the last 40 seconds. It's the JR Sport Re-Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk about the positives surrounding the Bengals. I am going to give you an update on Jimmy Butler. Is he going to be sticking around with the Miami Heat? What's going on with Caitlin Clark? Well, you just heard me. She is the Time Athlete of the Year. I'm getting ready to find out who might win the Heisman. We got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Re-Show coast to coast. The Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227.